We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. Anyway, happy, what is today? Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Almost forgot what day it was. Anyway, it's been a long couple days here lately, but I'm recuperating. Anyway, let's check out some temperatures around the state. Looks like what was that? Tipton. Tipton's the hottest spot in the state, actually, at 90 degrees. 89 at Hollis, 87 at Eric, 87 at the home of the secret weapon, Cheyenne, America. 87 at Arnett, 80, just 87 everywhere, even at Skip Out. Suburbs of Skip Out may be a little cooler. But anyway, got that. Let's see here. 90 degrees over at Fairview. Out here in the Panhandle of Texas, more of the same thing. 89 at Odell, 90 at Wellington, 90 at Canadian, and Paladora Reservoir, 86 degrees. All right, we got the text line is wide open. The ag text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. One of the troopers from the Oklahoma Highway Patrolman is going to be in here for our third segment today, and we're going to talk about farm equipment safety, farm equipment on the roads. So if you got some questions that you're in doubt about, like who's got the right-of-way or blah, 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 get him ready and text him in, and I'll sure ask him. So anyway, he'll be in here at 12:30, and that would be Trooper Kemp Caleb will be in here. So anyway, I'm excited. First time I've had a Oklahoma Highway Patrolman on the show, and they are probably the most favorite bunch of law enforcement officers in the whole United States, because they don't mess around. They're well trained, they got style, they're always well dressed, they're well mannered, they got it going on. And plus, I know a lot of them. I was in the military with a couple of retired Oklahoma Highway Patrolmen. So anyway, I'm excited. Let's see. We got my wells going last night right before dark, or right at dark. So anyway, I'm back to putting some water on my goobers. And the goobers are really happy, the ones that's got water so far overnight and today. So anyway, got that going on. Not much else going on. The high tunnel's still doing good. I picked 5-gallon bucket of tomatoes this morning. And let's see what else. And then, we was talking to the Davis family yesterday, and Casey Shepherd, well, her mom, Miss Robbie, she came by and got her vegetables that she ordered, and she sent me a picture of her eating a sweet pepper like a apple driving down the road. She said, "Hey, this is really good. It's really sweet." So anyway, it's exciting. So anyway, I'm just, I don't know. Got a lot going on. We'll see what's happening there. Okay, let's see what happened in our big world of agriculture overnight. Soybean futures were modestly lower in overnight trading, and grains were a little changed as investors focused on favorable weather in the U.S. Corn Belt. Precipitation was expected in much of the Midwest this week, favoring parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Rain is forecast for parts of the east central Midwest today and southeastern areas Thursday. Rains in the southeastern areas will further improve moisture for corn and soybeans, Kinley said. Rain in the central areas next week will maintain moisture. 68% of the U.S. soybeans were in good or excellent condition. Conditions is, as of Sunday, actually unchanged week to week, according to what the USDA said. Still, that's well ahead of 54% that earned top ratings a year earlier. 29% of the crop were setting pods, up from 18% a week earlier. 65% were in bloom stage versus 51% the previous week. Corn ratings fell to 67% good or excellent at the start of the week. And that's up from, actually, that's down. Yeah, fell 67%. Sorry, 68%. It's dropped 1%. 17% of the crop was in the dough stage, up from 8% the prior week. 61% was in the silk stage. Wheat was mixed as investors weighed improvements in the Australian crop prospects against a dismal outlook in France, the European's biggest producer of the grain. Rainfall in the southeastern New South Wales and southwestern Western Australia will boost prospects for wheat in the Australian states. Moisture is expected to remain at a deficit in parts of western France, Hungary, and southern Italy. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 4 cents to 1071.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost 30 cents to 318.80 a short ton, and soy oil was down 0.45 cents to 44.68 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose 3/4 of a cent overnight to 418 a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery gained 2 pennies in Chicago to 544.75 a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 0.5 penny to 566.25 a bushel. The U.S. egg production in June fell 2% year over year to 8.81 billion. I guess, I don't know if that's dozens or eggs. They don't specific. Yeah, I guess it's eggs. How about that? Yes, eggs. According to the USDA in its report, the total includes 7.56 billion table eggs and 1.25 billion hatching eggs, composed of 1.15 billion broilers and 96.7 million egg types. Egg layers totaled 371 million in June, and that's down 3% from the previous year, while production per 100 layers rose 1% to 2,377. In June, broiler hatchings, which are intended for meat production, totaled 833 million, a narrow year-over-year gain. Egg-type hatchings, and those are the ones that lay eggs, came in at 56.7 million, a 3% decline. It's a lot of chickens. It's a lot of eggs. Broiler types and incubators were reported at 736 million on July 1st. Egg types and incubators rose 8% to 53.6 million laying hatching chickens. Anyway, let's see what the weather's doing in our farm belt. Extremely hot weather is expected in western counties in North Dakota and South Dakota, according to the National Weather Service. Heat indexes are forecast at 103 this afternoon. Let's see here. Western Montana, values are expected to reach 110. That's hot. Extreme heat will significantly increase the potential for heat-related illnesses, particularly for those ones working or participating in outdoor activities. Further east, thunderstorms for Indiana and Michigan. Some of these storms might be severe. But down here in the southern plains, it's just going to be warm. And from what I've seen, I hope how weather changes day to day. Looks like we're not going to have much wind for the next week to 10 days. So anyway, a little breeze doesn't hurt. Keep the air moving, but anyways, won't have some of those windy conditions we had a few weeks back before them rainstorms, those heavy storms that one weekend came over. So anyway, that's what's going on there. I got a question. I got a couple questions for you guys. So on electronic ID tags that's supposed to go into effect this fall for breeding stock, what are you guys' thoughts on it? And I really like some comments coming from people, because I'm going to try to have Dr. Beggs on from OSU Friday to talk about the Asian tick, but I want to quiz her about that because she's up to snuff on this, the EID tags. But what are your guys' thoughts on it? And I got my personal thoughts, and I'll share them with you later. But it's just my personal thoughts. And don't get mad at me because my thoughts don't line up with your thoughts. This is America. Come on. Anyway, why or why not do you, are you against it or for it? How's that? Why? Just what's going on? And because really, from what I understand so far, and we'll have the professionals line us out on that deal. From what I understand, all these ID tags are doing is taking the place of the metal tags that we already put in our breeding stock, like the calf vaccination. If you sell a bull or cow or heifer that's going out of state for breeding purposes, you know, they're just putting the electronic ID tag in there. And it seems like this tag is dividing our producers, cattle producers. And I'm trying to put my thumb on it, finger, and help everybody fully understand. Because these things are, I'm going to give you a little bit of my thoughts that I've learned so far on it, is these things are low frequency, very low. It's not like the IRS is going to be tracking our cattle via satellite. That's not what this is about. And a lot of people are assuming that. And plus, you know, when you have those metal tags put in your heifers or your cows and your bulls, that information that the vet or whoever, that information that they fill out that sheet, it goes to the state vet's office. It's already on record. And so this is supposed to simplify it a little more or make it easier anyway. And a lot of paperwork, it's going to save a lot of paperwork. That's my understanding so far. So I want to know why you think this is a bad or good thing. Help me out here. I'm going to ask this question again tomorrow. Text line is wide open. If you want to email me your response, it's my email is so simple. Jimmy. J-I-M-M-Y at K-E-C-O-F-M.com. I want to know it. So I got another question coming up for you in the next segment. I don't want to hit you guys with too much to think about during what if you're eating lunch or whatever. Anyway, last week, I forgot, I wanted to thank the all the electrical linemen, all you guys that did when that storm rode through different parts of Oklahoma last week and you guys were out working, putting power lines back up and stuff. Thank you again for getting out there in the right after the weather and getting the electricity back on, especially out in the country. Anyway, we need that electricity out there to survive, I think. But anyway, thanks again. I can't remember if I did it and I didn't want to go back through the shows to see it. But thanks to all you guys that help out the like North Fork Electric, Harmon Electric, Northwestern, Caddo, C&K, whatever, Caddo County, or not County, but Caddo, whatever they call them over there to the east, C&K, I think. But anyway, thank you again, and PSO and all you guys, thank you so much for getting on that and getting the power back up going. All right, we're going to take a Taylor Ranch break because it's Taylor Ranch happy hour all hour today. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran-owned. We deliver top-tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transparency, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July the 19th. 1,775 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 380 brought 385. 6 at 531 brought 306. 7 at 586 brought 286. 11 at 614 brought 287. 10 at 706 brought 255. 15 at 893 brought 230. 7 at 1,001 brought 220. 3 head of heifers at 323 brought 332.50. 5 at 538 brought 250. 4 at 551 brought 266. 11 at 821 brought 227.50. 4 at 848 brought 220. Butcher cows were 70 to 161. Butcher bulls brought 120 to 196. Bred cows 1300 to 2775. Pairs were 1825 to 3000. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
96.5 in Presidio presents the 10th annual KECO Kids Fishing Derby, Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon at Elk City's Ackley Park. All kids ages 15 and under are invited to fish free for a chance to win prizes, including specialty tag fish worth $100. Get there early for free worms and t-shirts while supplies last, and a free fishing demonstration from the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation at 8 a.m. It's the 10th annual KECO Kids Fishing Derby, Saturday at Elk City's Ackley Park.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your ag weather forecast for the Texas Panhandle. Wellington, Texas, 91 degrees. Heat index is 89. The humidity is 33%. Dew points 57. The winds are out of the south at 6 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 19. Oh, yeah, 87 one-hundredths of an inch. Dr. Rosalind Briggs from Oklahoma State University is calling me during the show. How about that? Anyway, 8-inch soil temperature, 85 degrees. And Trooper Kemp already in the studio, but we'll go ahead and go with our, we're going to do our, what are we doing here? Oh, the Lipscomb Dealership's Ag Market Update. Let's see what the market's doing right now. September corn 405 up 2 3/4. December 419 up 2 1/4. Soybeans for August 1115 down 2.5. September 1066 down 5 3/4. Soybean meal August 345 up 230. September 328.60 up 320. Soybean oil for August 4594 up 7. Let me back up. Down 72. September's 45.34. Down 74. Hard red winter wheat. Let's see what it's doing. September 5.71 up 5. December 5.88 up 5 1/4. Let's see what the cash market is real quick on wheat. Currently, I'm going off the Planters Co-op out of Lone Wolf. The Lone Wolf Hobart price, cash, current cash price right now is $4.97. Roosevelt. 492, Altus Duke 482. And what's Milo doing here? Current cash price basically 382 across the across the board there. Cotton for October, 66.45, down 158. Oil out of West Texas, up a buck at 77.96 for September. And natural gas is down a little bit at 213 for August. NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow are all in the red today. Let's see what the live cattle market is doing. August live cattle just changed on me. August, 186.62, up 32. October, 186.02, down 10. Feeder cattle for August, 257.25, down 150. September's 256.90, down 170. Lean hogs for August, 93.67, up 2. And October is 77.92, up 80 cents. And that's it. Let's see here. I got to do this real quick. Let's check out what happened at Beaver yesterday up there in the panhandle of Oklahoma. As soon as it lets me, there we go. They had 2,656 head sold through the ring yesterday. Bred heifers were averaging anywhere from 1,300 to 1,700. They only had 7 head go through there, but they 1,643 is what they averaged. Bulls, 26 head, average weight 1578, average price 168.66, basically $2,660 a head. Looks like the highest priced one I see on here is 184, and it weighed a little over a ton. Bull calves, they had 99 head of bull calves, average weight 528, average price 288.52, 1524 a head. Cows, they had 194 head, average weight like 2 pounds, being 1,200 pounds. Average price, $1,715 a head. We got heifer calves, 257 head of heifer calves. Average weight, 522. Average price, $269.25, $1,406 a head. And then we got yearling heifers. How many did they have? 705 head. Average weight, 712. Average price, $249.28. Average total price $1,773.71 a head. Pairs were bringing $2,800 a head. They didn't have but 4 pairs in there. And then steer calves, 227 head. They brought our average weight 552 and 295.14 per 100 and 1628 per head. Steer yearlings, here's the last one. They had 1,135 head, average price 868, or average weight 868, average price 254.28, $2,205.93 a head. Pretty darn good. Anyway, all right, here's my next question for you guys. I already gave you one question on the ID tags, the EID tags, that's mandated to come, the mandate's supposed to take effect this fall. Anyway, the next question is anybody listening, have you ever grown any Jose ryegrass? I would appreciate a text from you and I'll call you later. I need to do some learning on it. So anyway, I need to find out some stuff about it. I really would appreciate if anybody, or if anybody knows who the expert is with Jose ryegrass, I would appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and take a little bit of early break since Trooper's in here and he's chomping at the bit to get on the show with us. Anyway, we're going to be back. We'll take a Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
For 20 years, Brandon and Jill Culver of Culver Electric have been your trusted name in residential and commercial electrical needs. Here's Brandon.
This is Brandon Culver with Culver Electric. On behalf of all the Culver Electric family, we want to say thank you to all of our many dedicated customers for relying on us to serve you for 20 years. We have grown in so many ways and in areas we never dreamed possible. None of this would have been possible without y'all. We value your trust and loyalty in the many ups and downs along the way to reaching this milestone. We will continue to give you the best quality service to all of Western Oklahoma. From all of us here at Culver Electric to all of you, thank you so much, and we look forward to the next 20 years.
Culver Electric. For all your residential and commercial electrical needs, give them a call 580-243-5846 or stop by 1823 West 20th Street in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. I went with Woodward today, big metropolitan area in Northwestern Oklahoma. 87 degrees, feels like 88, dew point 64, humidity's 46%, the winds are out of the south at 8. 10-day rain total, 2.88 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 84. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunset at 8:50. Sunny and 93 today. Clear, low of 68 tonight. Sunny and 94 tomorrow. And just basically what wind you're seeing we getting right now is what we got. Well, Officer Kent... Patrolman Kent, however you want, Trooper Kemp. Anyway, Caleb Kemp is in the, he's a trooper with the Oklahoma Highway Patrolman. He's in the studio with me right now. Sir, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
I'm finding out stuff about you. You actually farm and ranch yourself.
I do a little bit, yes, sir.
Oh, cool. That just makes it even much better. So how long have you been a trooper?
I've been a trooper for 10 years.
All right. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. I like it.
So has your whole time been out here?
No, I did almost 3 years in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. How was that compared to out here?
It was definitely different. It was a lot.
So did you ever make one of those shows that they come out there and do with the Highway Patrol?
I did some interviews with the news. They rode with me some, but I didn't do like live
TV or whatever.
Live TV. Nothing like that.
I get a kick out of that one trooper that always... up in Tulsa has tattoos all down his arm. You know who I'm talking about?
Trooper Calico. Brother.
Yeah, dude, he was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. But anyway, before we start into the show, thank you for what you guys do, and we really appreciate it. So you guys do a wonderful job, and every person in Oklahoma appreciate you. Some not so much, but the most of them pretty much anyway. Well, farm safety has always been a subject, period. I don't care from way back when to now. Anyway, but out on the roadways, it's a different deal, and you hear all kinds of myths and stuff about, you know, when farm equipment's coming down the road, you need to get over, and if the farmer needs to get over for them when they're coming down the road, you know. And what's I think what is the most, a lot of people that aren't on the farm or raised on a farm or ever drove a tractor, combine, swath, or whatever, the thing of it is there's a lot of difference in the miles per hour on a vehicle coming down a two-lane highway, like going from, let's say, Carter to Granite or to Willow. There's not a lot of shoulder on that highway in most spots. And so you got a car coming at you at 65 and you're going 18, 20 miles an hour. A lot of reactions going on. Most of farm equipment being on the highway and the cars being on the highway on both sides of the fence there, common sense is the biggest deal.
Yeah, common sense would be my biggest advice on that. And yeah. Slow down.
Yeah.
So everybody just slow down a little bit and think about it. And that'll help out a lot.
Right.
And there's like a lot of the guys, the farmer may want to get over, but he can't because the bar ditch is
right.
10 foot deep in some spots. So try driving a big tractor in a 34 foot disc somewhere, and it don't go in the ditch very good. So. No.
Oh, and if it does, it might flip.
It's gonna tear up the road anyways.
Yeah, I know some people that tore up some blacktop here lately. So.
Oh yeah,
but there. So here's the deal. Who actually? We all know that there's no farm equipment unless it's being transported allowed on the interstates. But on state highway, county highway blacktops, county gravel roads, even I guess we could talk about city streets, which is not usually a big deal. Who actually has the right of way?
So, obviously, yeah, like you said, no interstate travel with
right.
farm implements unless it's on a semi or something like that. And that'll have to be escorted and things like that. Unless you're retail, like John Deere can ship a tractor within 150 miles without needing an escort.
Okay.
But that's not for everybody else. That's just for retail.
Right.
Guys that just sell implements. If you're going to be on a, let's say, a state highway, let's say State Highway 6, you're driving down State Highway 6, there's four lanes going south there. If you're oversized, then you need to go ahead and have an escort probably behind you so that way people coming up behind you can get around and not run into the back of you. And the escort doesn't have to be something elaborate. It can be grandpa with a feed pickup with his hazards on,
right,
something like that. On a two lane or so, we'll follow up with the escort deal on that side. If you're driving on a two lane and you're going to be oversized, taking up way more than your width of the lane, you need to have escort in the front, that way people know that you're coming. I think there was a crash a while back where they hit on the side somebody because they didn't have an escort in the front. Well, it ended up being the tractor. He didn't have an escort, so it was his fault on that deal.
Right.
So there's going to be that. Have an escort if you can. I'd always say have an escort. It just makes things a lot easier, and you got an extra set of eyes watching.
Especially for those blind spots.
Yeah, it's not always a legality issue that you have to. It's just on those certain situations when you're way oversized there. When you're on a two-lane and you're taking up more than your side of the road, so this is where a lot of guys are going to get twisted. The farmer, when he can, and it's basically when you can, as soon as possible, but not in a way that's going to cause your equipment damage or for you to do it dangerously, you need to move to the right to let people by. So, but that's, it doesn't have to be, you see a car coming, you just whip it over into the ditch or something.
Right.
As soon as possible, if you got a big load and you need to move over at a county road, and it's a safe spot where you're not wiping out ODOT signs and stuff like that. That is the better thing to do. If you did, you come up to a bridge, the tractor, if there's people on the bridge already, they're going to need to wait for them to get off the bridge.
Okay.
Before they start onto there. Now, once the tractor's on there and there's nobody else, then they have the right-of-way for anybody
else. Because you're already committed.
You're already there. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And the people on that side need to wait for you to go ahead and get across the bridge there. So.
Right.
It really is common sense if you just slow down and think about it. And I think that's a big issue with a lot of the other people driving, just the regular motoring public. Nobody wants to slow down and just take a second and realize 30 seconds out of your day is not going to be too much of an issue.
Yeah, because one of the issues I get into moving some equipment sometimes, especially my swather, because it's over with. It's 20 foot wide. And the issue that you get into is you get people come up behind you. And what they don't realize is, believe me, as soon as I get to a place where I can pull over out of the way, I will.
Yep.
And but, you know, you're going 65 miles an hour because you're late for your daughter's softball game down in wherever. Oh, yeah. And you come up behind a tractor and, you know, blood pressure gets up, or patience. It's not blood pressure, it's just patience. Believe me, the majority of farmers, probably 9 out of 10, as soon as they find a spot, they're going to get over.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just crazy. So basically what you're saying is on the bridges, especially because up till they got the new bridges there, South Carter, yeah, that was hairy deal. That, well, you did. When I was going south, moving equipment south of the river, I had somebody go clear down to Spring Creek Road because that road was so crooked there, that slough bridge, you couldn't see traffic coming. And I did it once without somebody blocking for me, and I across the bridge, and they come around that curve coming from the south at 65. It's a bad deal.
Oh yeah,
it's a bad feeling. And what's crazy is, especially down there in that area, that's where most of my operation, you know, I operate is. So most of those guys, farmers, if they pass you coming down the hill from the river bridge or something, they'll actually go up to the corner without you asking them and watch for traffic because you can't see them coming.
Yep.
And they're coming full bore.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so how many farm equipment accidents have you done in your 10 years probably?
I actually haven't worked that many.
Okay. No,
most of the time, we don't have any trouble with that. Some of them actually been like somebody run to the county tractor that's brush hogging the side of the road.
Right.
So, no, not very many.
No.
I would say less than 10.
Well, speaking of that, let's talk about that. And they're hot and heavy right now mowing the right-of-ways. The highway department and the county is. What can you give people about that? Because those guys can turn out and just, you know, they're busy.
Yeah, and you got to think that they're driving that. They usually got a 15-foot bat wing on there, so they've got a lot that they're paying attention to, and they are supposed to pay attention to the road. They got the due regard for that, but just slow down. That's almost the advice for almost everything. Just slow down, pay attention to what they're doing. If you can go into the whole other lane to pass them and it's safe, go ahead and do that. That way you're not catching any debris or anything from that brush hog.
Right. Well, one of the questions that I need to ask you is, ask the trooper about an ATV on the highway with a triangle on the back, legal or not.
Okay, so an ATV is like a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
So anything that you can straddle.
Let's throw the UTV in there, too.
So ATV, no, you cannot have an ATV on the highway, I don't think, under any circumstances.
Okay.
Let's say if you're on a trail, like a posted trail, and you need to cross the highway, then you can do that.
Okay.
That's it.
Right.
For the ATVs. For the UTV, that's going to be more like a side-by-side. Those can be on the highway. They're going to need to be street legal. So blinkers, windshield wipers, brakes, lights, seat belts, everything that a regular car would need, you're going to have to get it, and you're going to have it registered as well to be legal on the highway.
Yeah.
And you can drive it on the highway, not the interstate. Interstate's off limits for those. You cannot drive those on that. But, they can be on the highway. You just have to have everything that a car would have on your UTV.
So are they required to keep the minimum mile per hour, like 40 mile per hour, when they're on the highway?
They have to be capable of driving over 45.
Okay.
So I think it said a 400cc engine.
Right.
And capable of driving more than 45 miles an hour. Right. I don't know that you would have to drive that, but it has to be capable of doing that.
Right. Okay, so the county blacktops, like me, I go from, I'm right in the same area. I drive down to Blacktop and a half a mile to go check my irrigation. And then I go back, you know, and that's no big deal. But just travel, I'm guessing it's county by county is different.
No, that's state statute.
That's state statute. Okay.
Yeah, and then like Elk City has their own process that they do on that doesn't have to do ours.
Okay.
And theirs will be more restrictive, but it will encompass the city stuff.
Okay. Well, here's you a good one.
Oh, and on the UTV, you still have to be licensed. You have to be 16 and licensed. You can't just to put your 12-year-old on there and drive around the highway.
How is that with the kids that actually got driver's license that are underage, but it's farm-related?
I don't know that question.
Yeah, that's a tricky
one. I read it on the statute this morning. It said you had to be licensed in 16, specifically is what it said.
Okay.
I don't know if they've made any amendments to that. With that new
law. So go with the 16 years old.
I would go with that unless I missed it in the other deal for the...
What's the responsibility and or, this must be a highway worker, what's the responsibility and or fine for farm equipment that damages highway signs, especially warning signs like stop signs, etc.?
I don't know.
That was a good question.
I'm not sure I'm sure it would be 249 on our citations, I would assume.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, if you hit a sign, technically that's a crash.
Yeah.
It would just be a tractor and a sign crash. Yeah. So, yeah, they would still be responsible for the sign, and then they could get a citation, yes.
Yeah, because one time, luckily they was those white plastic or fiberglass ones they put along some of the curves. Anyway, I was coming up the hill with a swather, and this car come around that curve. She couldn't see me. She didn't know I was there. She was coming probably at normal speed. It just looks fast when you're sitting in the equipment. And I just had to get over, and I knocked every one of them down. But they pop back up.
Yeah, thank goodness those pop up, huh?
Yeah, so anyway, so basically what you're telling us is that common sense and just doesn't matter how big a hurry you're in, just slow down.
Yep, and that goes for the motoring public as well as the farmers.
Right.
Yeah, just slow down a little bit and pay attention up front.
Well, anything else you want to tell the public about safety out there with farm equipment that you can think of?
I would say to have your lights on.
Okay.
So if it's equipped with lights, you have to have, so like most of the newer tractors will have headlights.
Right.
Even. Well, those need to be on if you're driving, especially at night. They've got to be visible from the front. You have to have your red ones in the back going, which almost all of them have. And then if they're not equipped with a regular light, you need to put one on there so that it can show one to the front at least and then two to the back.
Okay.
And then most of them you should have like your slow-moving emblem, the triangle, like you would on your UTV.
Well, if you guys are just joining me, I'm talking to Oklahoma Highway Patrol Trooper Kemp. We're talking farm equipment, and they are called... Delaners? Those white things, I guess?
Delineators.
Yeah.
Yep.
Delineators. And anyway, he's joined us here. So let's find out more about you and your ag. So what do you got going on down here?
I farm and ranch south of Elk City. I mostly farm for the cattle is what I do. So.
Right.
Yep.
And then there are you, how many cows you got? What kind of cattle you got?
Mostly Angus.
Angus?
Yep. I'm switching kind of to the Reds. I like the Reds a little better.
Are you?
I have some more, so yeah. It's a smorgasbord. There's a couple Charlet and stuff like that, but mostly Angus.
Angus. Yep. So why are you switching to Reds?
I like them. I
you
don't
just
know.
Like them?
No real...
Personal preference.
Yeah, I just like them.
Anyway, so... So when do you... You a fall or spring calver?
Both.
Both?
Yeah,
I got you.
I do the spring and I do the fall. That way... Well, I've always got a paycheck coming in at some point if I can't manage my books very good.
So, anyway, so what are your thoughts on this EID tag?
I'm not real happy with that one.
Okay.
Nobody asked me about it, so I don't get to make the rules. But, yeah, I'm not just real happy about that one.
Okay. And tell everybody why, because there's two sides to every story. I want everybody to hear the reasoning.
I think they've got enough ways to track where the cattle come from without – putting an extra one on there, but
right,
that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And and it's change and thing. I don't.
Yeah, it's extra stuff to do.
Yeah, you know. And I think it's going to put a heavier burden on our sale barns, but according to the way it's written up, it shouldn't. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, there's mixed. My favorite one is the guys. They're going to be tracking my cattle in the pasture, and they're going to be counting them. Well, you shouldn't be worried about dishonesty anyway.
Yeah, I don't know about – you got to report them every so often anyway, so it's no problem.
Yeah.
I'm lying for that.
What are you hiding?
Yeah, what are you worried about? But, you know, it's just extra stuff to do that. I feel like they have a pretty decent system in place already.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when one of those deals comes out, they track where that animal's been. Within a couple of days.
Right.
It's pretty quick. So.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing it's going to change that much, but we'll see. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll make it that much easier.
It may be going like from a bag phone to an iPhone.
Yeah, maybe so.
Who knows? So what's your favorite part about being a highway patrolman?
Favorite part? Oh, I don't know. Like to drive fast. Drive fast, shoot guns. Isn't that the best part?
Well, that's the reason why a lot of people become law enforcement. Anyways, so what's your most unfavorite part?
Unfavorite part? Oh, probably fatalities and reports.
Yeah.
You got to do a lot of reports.
Yeah, probably in 10 years, you've probably seen some pretty rough wrecks.
Yeah, we've had some bad ones.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. One more question for you. If cattle break through the fence and wind up on the highway, what does the law say about that if they get hit?
So we're not a complete free-range state, but we are a free-range state, if that makes any sense. So if there is not a habit of those cattle being out, if it's not already proven that those cattle are out every so often.
And get calls all the time.
You know, if you get calls on it, then that's something that needs to be marked down, and then that would be more on the farmer rancher's problem.
Okay.
That cattle's out because they're not doing their due diligence to keep them in. If it's just a fluke deal, it's free range state, that happens, and you can try to turn it in, see what happens, but the farmer rancher usually is not going to be found at fault in that situation.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
There's some proof that he's not doing what he needs to be doing.
Yeah. I got into that one time where, some wild reason, I had a 600 pound heifer calf get out.
Yeah.
And somebody hit it, and it messed the truck up pretty bad. But you know what? I never did hear back from them people.
And you probably won't. Usually, that's not a thing that happens very often where you hear back from them.
Right.
Just because it is a free-range state and flukes happen.
Yeah. And so when you say we're not we are a free-range state, but there's circumstances that were different than like North Dakota, Wyoming.
Yeah, like other states up there, they'll have like cattle guards across the road, and those cows are literally just in the road.
Right.
On like county roads and stuff. So,
yeah
we're not that far, but we're...
Close.
Free range as far as that goes. We're just not, you know, cattle guards across the road and cows going everywhere.
Right. Yeah. It's just, you don't have to, that should be one of your least worries driving down the road, but it happens.
Yeah. We were in Montana last summer and we were driving. There's cows right there on the road.
Yep.
Just in the way. You just stop, let them go by and you keep going. So. Yeah, we're not like that.
Yeah, I was working on a job up there north of Gillette, Wyoming, Douglas, and I was on the frack, and we was almost done. My shift was almost done with a guy that come in to replace me. And he said, "Man, you should have seen this." It was in the morning. He said, "You should have seen these big elk that was on the highway down there by the cattle guard a couple miles north of the frack where we was at." Well, being the hunter I am, I wanted to go see some big elk and drove up there, and it was a bunch of black Angus cows. Like, I come back that night, I said, "Dude, you need to go to wildlife and bovine cattle observation identification school, because you don't have a clue what you're looking at."
But there's
signs up. Cattle on the road, period.
Yep.
You know, and cattle guards, and it might be on a 65 mile an hour highway.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, you hit one, you're buying it.
Yep.
So anyway, well, Officer Kemp, thank you for coming in today. And if I get some more questions on the text line, I'll text them to you.
Yep.
And,
you bet.
And thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you what you do. All right. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, I'll finish up the show.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. You guys, you were on your best behavior today. I didn't get any crazy messages on the text line. So anyway, 92 degrees at Hollis. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. 60 is the dew point. Humidity is 35. The winds are out of the south, southeast at 7 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 3/100ths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 86. Fractional water, 10 inches for 1-day average. Not very good. 0.2. Losing some moisture down there. Hey, if my buddy's listening down there, how's your 15 acres of okra doing down there? Sunset at 8:48. Hot, 97 degrees. Clear in 68. And then hot tomorrow in 97. Summer's back. It is still July. Anyway, I had another question come in. I sent it to him. We'll see if we get a response. Ask the trooper about county equipment like road graders. I'd say it goes for the same as for farm equipment, since I used to run a blade. And, you know, the good thing about it is that I've noticed, especially in Beckham County and Greer County, if they see you coming from the front or the back, 9 times out of 10, the grader operator is going to raise his blade and get out of your way, because they're going slower than a tractor. So we'll see. But I'll ask him a question, see what he responds for that. All right, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour. An excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender is an eating experience so good it can still be remembered years later. Whether you would like to relive the mouth-watering event or experience it for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They work every day to create that tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics and enhance the marbling, ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or whole. Third-party verified all-natural and hormone-free. Also available 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. I bet they're taking orders for maybe next month, but I know September. So give Jimmy and Tracy a call, and they'll hook you up with some of the best beef around. Anyway, heck, I'm out of time. Man, that went by fast. Anyway, I guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. I got a special guest coming in at 12:30 tomorrow to talk about frog gigging. You guys want to... they're going to have a two-day frog gigging deal at Carter Baptist Church this weekend. So anyway, he's going to come in and talk about, we're going to hear some stories from last year. How about that? See you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hottest country music on the planet.
This is KECO Elk City.